In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump announced on Monday morning that his administration had negotiated a bilateral trade agreement with Mexico as part of efforts to reconfigure NAFTA, the North America Free Trade Agreement. In a move that appeared to snub Canada, the third nation party to NAFTA, Trump made the surprise announcement saying that Canada could join later, quote, if they'd like to negotiate fairly. Canada's Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland is cutting short a trip to Europe in order to fly into Washington, D.C. on Tuesday. Her spokesperson released a statement saying, "We will only sign a new NAFTA that is good for Canada and good for the middle class, and that Canada's signature is required." The U.S. Congress and lawmakers from Mexico and Canada would have to vote to ratify any deal. As part of his announcement on NAFTA, Trump attempted to call Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto on the phone in front of reporters. Mexico's leader has had strained relations with the U.S. since Trump took office over his border wall and inflammatory racist language against Mexican immigrants. But on Monday, none of that tension was apparent as Trump gushed over the phone in full view of cameras. Here is part of his conversation with Peña Nieto.
I think NAFTA has a lot of bad connotations for the United States because it was a ripoff. It was a deal that was a horrible deal for our country. And I think it's got a lot of bad connotations to a lot of people. And so we will you and I will agree to the name. We will see whether or not we decide to put up Canada or just do a separate deal with Canada if they want to make the deal. The simplest deal is more or less already made. It would be very easy to do and execute. But I will tell you that working with you has been a pleasure. Speaking with and working with President-elect López Obrador has been absolutely a very, very special time. You both came together for your country. You worked together. I think that's important for the media to know.
That's President Trump on Monday speaking with Mexico's President Enrique Peña Nieto about a new trade agreement between the two nations. The conversation then ended on a bizarrely affectionate note.
Le mando un abrazo muy afectuoso.
I send you an affectionate hug.
Y con afecto.
And all my greetings to you, my regards.
A hug from you would be very nice. Thank you. So long. Thanks. Goodbye, Enrique.
On Monday morning, Trump welcomed Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta to the White House foreign official visit. Mr. Kenyatta's visit comes as his nation's highest court invalidated his election after allegations of widespread problems. Here is President Trump welcoming the Kenyan leader.
It's a great honor. We have a tremendous relationship with Kenya. We have terrorism, a lot of trade, getting bigger and bigger all the time. We're working on a major infrastructure project, a massive roadway that will be record-setting in many ways. And we are going to conclude a lot of good things with tremendous honor. Thank you.
That's Trump welcoming Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta to the White House on Monday. The real estate company of Trump's son-in-law and advisor, Jared Kushner, has been fined more than $200,000 by the city of New York for filing more than 40 fraudulent construction applications for rental properties that the company ran while Kushner was at the helm. The fine was the result of an investigative report by AP that found, quote, the false paperwork allowed the Kushners to escape extra scrutiny designed to stop landlords from using construction to make living conditions for low-paying rent-regulated tenants unbearable and get them to leave. With low-rent tenants being replaced by higher-income renters, the building in question ballooned in value, and last year the Kushner company sold it for nearly twice as much as it paid 2 years earlier. The shooter at the online gaming tournament in Jacksonville, Florida, has been found to have had a history of mental illness. 24-year-old David Katz, who killed two people and wounded nine others before killing himself, had apparently been institutionalized and was at the center of a post-divorce battle between his parents 10 years ago. This is what authorities said on Monday about the incident.
Based on the investigation at this point, he legally purchased the firearms from a licensed dealer and didn't violate any laws in doing that. We have yet to have a concrete motive reveal itself in the case. We're going to continue, obviously, to work that. That's part of what we're looking at, but we don't have anything that we would stand up here today and tell you that this is the motive.
That's Jacksonville, Florida Sheriff Mike Williams speaking to press on Monday, a day after the deadly shooting at a gaming conference. Investigators in Phoenix, Arizona said on Monday that officers involved in a videotaped beating of a black man should not face charges. Police officers with the Mesa Police Department were seen on film repeatedly punching Robert Johnson simply because he did not sit down when ordered to do so. 33-year-old Johnson is still recovering from the injuries that resulted from his assault. He's now expected to take his case against the police to civil court. Seth Frotman, the student loan ombudsman at the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, has stepped down from his position, citing the Trump administration's undermining of his work. In a strongly worded letter to CFPB head Mick Mulvaney, Frotman wrote, quote, "Under your leadership, the Bureau has abandoned the very consumers it is tasked by Congress with protecting. Instead, you've used the Bureau to serve the wishes of the most powerful financial companies in America," end of quote. Rob Tibbetts, the father of slain Iowa University student Molly Tibbetts, has lashed out at attempts by conservatives to demonize undocumented immigrants. A man suspected of having killed the 20-year-old woman is apparently an undocumented immigrant from Mexico. President Trump and his supporters have sought to politicize her death, but her father retorted at his daughter's funeral on Monday, quote, "The Hispanic community are Iowans. They have the same values as Iowans." He added, "As far as I'm concerned, they're Iowans with better food." Meanwhile, a law firm has accused Immigration and Customs Enforcement of creating the conditions that led to the death of a toddler earlier this year. 21-month-old Marie was detained along with her mother at a detention center in Dilley, Texas, where she developed an illness that went untreated. Weeks after she was released, the child died at a hospital. Lawyers representing the family say ICE is to blame. A federal court has ruled that North Carolina's Republican lawmakers drew up district maps that were illegal and disproportionately benefited their party. The three-judge panel issued a lengthy opinion that ran more than 300 pages long. According to Reuters, Republican legislators responsible for the maps conducted unconstitutional partisan gerrymandering to dilute the impact of Democratic votes. The judges may require new maps ahead of the November election. In international news, the United Nations Human Rights Council ordered a report on the war in Yemen, which was published Tuesday morning. The 41-page report found that airstrikes by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have caused mass civilian casualties and may amount to war crimes. The United States has been backing and arming Saudi Arabia in its war against the Gulf's poorest nation. Most recently, Saudi authorities struck down a bus carrying dozens of children using a U.S.-made bomb. Most of the children were killed. The United Nations' Human Rights Council a day earlier recommended that military generals in Myanmar face charges of genocide for their years-long pogrom against Rohingya Muslims. The UN body formed a three-person fact-finding mission last year that has since interviewed hundreds of Rohingya refugees and compiled an extensive documentation of the systematic abuses that have drawn international condemnation. According to Associated Press, the team compiled accounts of crimes, including gang rape, the torching of hundreds of villages, enslavement, and killings of children, some before the eyes of their own parents. The team was not granted access to Myanmar and has decried a lack of cooperation or even response from the government, which received an early copy of the report. The report identified social media as a critical part of the Myanmar government's anti-Rohingya campaign, saying Facebook has been a useful instrument for those seeking to spread hate in a context where, for most users, Facebook is the internet. In the wake of the UN report, Facebook announced that it was banning the account of the country's top military general from its platform, as well as those of 19 other officials and organizations in Myanmar. In a statement on Monday, Facebook said it had been, quote, too slow to act and was, quote, determined to do better in the future. And that does it for today's headlines.